Brace yourself, it's Wall Street Week.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. It's truth time for the financial industry. This week, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Bank of America, and JP Morgan Chase all report their second quarter earnings. All eyes will be on the banking sector to see if things have improved. Sam Stovall is Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. He joins us live. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Stacey.
Sam, what do we expect to hear from the banking sector this week?
I think we're going to be hearing things that are a lot less bad than they have been in the past. This sector has gone through seven quarters of losses, not just year-over-year earnings declines, but actual losses. And our belief is that this quarter will be the first in which we actually see an increase.
So some good news.
Some good news, yes. Actually, when you look at all the industries within the financial sector, we're only going to be looking at two that we think will actually see losses, those being the regional banks and more of a conglomerate multi-sector grouping. But everybody else is expected to show green ink.
Some other big companies are reporting earnings this week, including GE, Google, Yum! Brands. What kind of news are we expecting out of those sectors?
I think we're expecting to see a similar situation in which the S&P 500 is expected to post a 17% year-over-year decline, but that's half as bad as what we got in the first quarter, and we expect the third quarter to be even better. So it's a continuing lessening of the free fall that we've seen over the last several quarters.
So looking at the second quarter as a whole, what does this mean for the economy? Where are you seeing the economy right now?
I believe that this is a confirmation of what our economist is projecting, that the recession will probably end early in the fourth quarter of this year, and that each successive quarterly number that we're going to be getting, the second quarter GDP will be coming out shortly, we should see a lessening decline than compared with the first and second quarters, and also that will probably be a flat quarter in the third, and then possibly even an improvement, a gain of 1% in the fourth quarter of this year.
Sam Stovall with S&P Equity Research, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the markets are mixed this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.3% to 8,176. The NASDAQ down about 0.3% to 1749. The S&P 500 up 0.3% to 881. A gloomy trading day in Asia. The Nikkei was down 2.5%, its ninth straight loss. One bright spot, news of a merger brewing between beverage giant Suntory and Kirin. The union would create one of the largest food and drink companies in the world. Financial institutions may be looking pretty good on the whole, but as Sam said, they're not all out of the weeds. Lender CIT is desperately trying to prevent a run on its funds. You might not have heard of CIT. That's because the 100-year-old lender specializes in financing for businesses, not consumers. But the company's troubles could have some big implications for Joe Q Public. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
CIT provides crucial day-to-day financing to the likes of Dunkin' Donuts and other retailers. Its lines of credit are used to fund inventory and make payroll. CIT said in a statement Sunday that it's in talks with government banking regulators to improve its cash position. The bank's already gotten more than $2 billion from the U.S. Treasury's TARP program. Further financing from the FDIC, though, doesn't look very likely. Regulators appear to think CIT's demise wouldn't pose systemic risk to the banking system because small businesses could get financing from other banks. But management consultant Peter Cohen doesn't think that's very likely.
They are very reluctant to take on the risk of lending to a small business, which is probably suffering because small businesses in general don't have the excess resources to help tide them through tough times as larger businesses might.
As many as 300,000 retailers and hundreds of manufacturing firms could be at risk if CIT's lines of credit and other financing services go away. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
Germany has long been at the forefront of solar technology. Today, a group of German companies meets in Munich to discuss translating that know-how into a $500 billion renewable energy project. Brett Neely has more.
Germany has become a solar power thanks to labs like the Helmholtz Center in Berlin. Researcher Stefan Gahl opens a large black box known as a sun simulator.
So you have an artificial sun above your sample.
Though German researchers lead the field, the country's often gloomy skies limit how much solar power can be produced here. The Berlin-based Desertec Foundation thinks it has the answer: solar power plants in the deserts of the Middle East and North Africa. The nonprofit says more than 15% of Europe's energy needs could be met using existing technology. Power would be sent to Europe via underwater cables. Desertec board member Max Schoen says this isn't just about clean and cheap electricity for Europe. It's also about helping the region develop.
This is a holistic concept. It's not only secure energy, it's not only climate change, it's also about migration, it's also about water, it's also about poverty.
Schoen says some of the electricity would power desalination plants in North Africa and the Middle East to make fresh water for the arid region. And he says the project would create well-paying jobs there to stop the brain drain of skilled workers going north to Europe. Today's conference is hosted by the insurance company Munich Re, which is worried climate change will hurt its business. Other companies signing on to the cooperation agreement include German powerhouses like Deutsche Bank and Siemens. Economist Claudia Kempfert says this is no short-term project.
It's not a project for the next 15 or 20 years. It's a project for 50 years, and that's a major difference to many other projects.
Despite the plan's grand scale, Kempfert says it's technically and economically feasible, even with the eye-popping $500 billion price tag over the next 40 years.
And it's not that large amount if we look at numbers for the financial crisis we are spending right now.
Desertec says the first solar facilities in North Africa could be operating within 10 years. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
The Chicago Cubs may be declaring bankruptcy. The Tribune Company, which owns the team, would use a bankruptcy to help speed up a possible sale of the Cubs. The Tribune Company is reportedly hoping to fetch around $900 million for the team. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.